good morning.
It
is so good to see all of you today, and we are so glad that you're with us on this second Sunday of Easter, and it is just a wonderful, beautiful day again, and I just want to say thank you to everybody just with helping last Sunday with Easter services and everything. We had 28 in our sunrise. We had 99 in our regular service, and it was just all just a great day and a blessing for all of us. And but a little bit later on, if you happen to grab the sermon outline, we are going back to our series that we left off at the beginning of Lent, the relational challenges, and we're going to continue looking through that over the next few weeks, however long that goes. And but today we're going to be looking at how we are affected sometimes by economic issues at one time or another. And but as we begin, let us stand together and join in singing our Gloria Patria. Join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise
God for His sanctuary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise God for God's mighty deeds and greatness.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
With our breath, we praise the Lord.
Well, let's do that this morning as we're thinking about the resurrected one again today. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Hymn number 4.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall, bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. He chosen seed of Israel's race, He ransomed from the fall. Hail Him who saved you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Hail Him who saved you by His grace and crown Him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial pole to Him all majesty ascribe.
Join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Loving Jesus, You have been our faithful companion in a broken and fearful world. Continue to reveal Yourself to us each day. bringing us your peace and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Guide us still as we might know your saving power every day. Amen. And you may be seated, and we are going to sing. So I need the kids. Where's all my kids this morning? I need you to sing out. You're going to know this one. You inspired me to want to sing this today. Plus, it goes along with the Easter message. We're going to sing that chorus I taught a couple months ago, Lord, I lift your name on high. And we're going to sing it through twice this morning. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. Somebody out there singing. Did the kids sing? Oh, yeah. Come on down, kids. Yes, that was always one of my favorites. The last church I pastored, our worship leader introduced that and taught us that for the first time. How you guys doing? Look at that. You guys got to sing a song that you knew real well, didn't you? Yeah. All right. I got a question for you. I always start with questions, though, usually. How many of you, and then maybe just the older ones, I don't know, because some of you guys might be a little young yet to get this, but do any of you get an allowance? You know what that is? You know what it is? Do you get some money each week for things you do? Not yet, okay. Usually when you start to get 12, 13, somewhere there, you're not getting allowance yet? You gotta run out some deals at home here. Now, when I was younger, I think I got quarters or 50 cents or whatever it was. But I think, and maybe your parents might think this way, I don't know this for sure, but all the things that they get you, and the toys and stuff, and then one day, when you're older, and you're gonna do this, or go to this, or drive a car, and you're gonna need gas money to go hang out with your friends, or go to a movie with your friends, that's kind of your allowance. You get paid for that. And why do you get paid for that? Because of chores you do around the house. Does anybody have any chores that they have to do? Okay, so so Chase kind of has some chores he does, although he's older. But yeah, chores, I mean, my main chore growing up was mowing the lawn. Yeah, mowing the lawn, sometimes maybe taking out the trash or whatever, helping mom or dad do something around the house or on the farm or whatever it may be. But I think a lot of you you're younger yet, so you may not have to do that part yet. But as you get older, you do that.
Now, I got gas money, is what I got. So, or money to go do things with my friends when I got older. That's just kind of how the way the world works. You know, they're trying to teach you about sometimes if you start getting quarters or dollars, you know, sometimes you save it and put it in your drawer or a piggy bank. Hey, let me tell you something. I had a dog that was ceramic that set this high. He was this tall and about this big. Guess what he was? A piggy bank. Well, what we call a piggy bank. You know, we use the name for piggy. But I filled that all the way up. And guess what? When I finally went off to college, I decided to break my ceramic dog. I know, it was hard. It was hard. But I had hundreds of dollars in change that I had saved over the years in that piggy bank. And I got to take, well, I turned it all in, and then I got cash for it. And then I saved it and used that for college and stuff like that. So one day, you keep filling up that piggy bank if you've got one of those. Because one day, you might find that you've got hundreds of dollars in there. So, anyways, so that's kind of how, just like your mom and dad. They go to work, they work through the week, and they get paid, and that's how you go to the grocery store, that's how they put gas in your cars, you guys ride around in it. That's just the way things work. But what happens if there's no jobs? What happens if nobody gets paid? I was going to say, how are we going to go get hamburger or french fries? No, I just said if they don't have it, if there's no jobs, and your mom didn't even have it, how are you going to do that? What's going to happen? You'll get poor. Well, in our story today that I'm going to be reading with the adults, the people had been working on that wall to build. Remember I told you about the story about they were building that wall in Jerusalem to try to rebuild it? And guess what happened? A famine hit. Now, what's a famine? What's a famine? Or maybe you've heard of the word drought. Yeah, there wasn't any rain. And guess what didn't happen? The crops didn't grow because most of all of them were farmers. And the crops didn't grow. And guess what? They weren't sure how they were going to eat. And so they ended up having to work out some things to find out how they could all take care of one another. Yeah. What? Yeah, the Egyptians did have their places along the Nile, which in that Nile is what, yes, when there was droughts, they could use some of the water out of the, just like you see the irrigation things that go on today. But you know what? God gave Nehemiah, who was the leader, if you remember we talked about him, but it's been, what, over 40 days since we talked about him, over a month. He was a wise leader, and God helped him to lead them so that they could be taken care of during that time. And that's the good thing. And you know what? God wants us to take care of, God wants to help take care of us too. And thankfully, we have our parents, our grandparents, who worked for years and did all that thing and saved money. And guess what? One day when you start getting money, you can either spend it all and have nothing left, or you can spend a little and save a bunch. And then one day when you need it, you can use it. All right. I think they lost the tension here, so I'll let them go on down to there. Probably a little bit more than they wanted to learn Economics 101 there this morning.
As they're heading down, we're going to go to our time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share with us this morning. They don't realize yet, but they'll get all that in school eventually. So, yes. Yep.
We have a brand new great-grandson born Tuesday. His name's Luke Thomas.
Oh, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank
you. Yes. I thought I saw another hand. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay.
I
someone else this morning. Thank you. Oh, really? Oh. We want to remember Nancy is going to be having heart surgery. In our prayers this morning. Someone else? I thought I saw a couple other hands. Where'd they go? Yep.
It's been a long process, about 6 months to get it done.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to make, I remember Brad and Carla talking about that, where Aaron would, in college, she'd drop her car off at home and take one of theirs so Dad could get it fixed. Yep, so I understand that. Yeah, and that's a good thing when things are kind of back to normal. somebody else. Yeah. Who? Herb?
Priscilla.
Oh, Priscilla. Sorry. Who did you?
Carol Wilkers.
No, wait a minute. I'm going way back because she mentioned it, but she didn't give a name. Who has? Who is Randy's wife that has cancer?
Cheryl Clark.
Cheryl.
Cheryl. Okay. Cheryl. And then who, what's the name of the person that has a bleeding ulcer?
That's Ian Coyle. That's Carol Walker.
Well, she told me to take him off the prayer list a week ago or so.
Yeah, but then he had to go back.
Okay. Okay, thank you for that. So there's Ian, Randy, Cheryl, somebody with heart.
Ron?
Okay, and then Jill and Jim. Jill had treatments this on Fridays, doing very well, by the way. And for Jim, Cavalt too, Judy, who's recovering, Priscilla, who's recovering, and Sandy, who's recovering, and
Mike.
Yeah, Mike, my brother, whose heart defibrillator kept going off. And when they had him at Lima, and then they transferred him to OSU. But when they started running tests, and we pray it's just this simple, his magnesium and what's the other one I said?
Potassium.
Yes, potassium were off. And that can affect your heart rhythm too. So hopefully that's all it is. We'll know more in the next day or so. Okay, others. Others, we covered a bunch there. Yep.
I have a great granddaughter.
Ah.
Elizabeth.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. She's the one of the younger granddaughters that gave you a great grand. Yeah. So, somebody else. Anybody else? All right. Lots of names there this morning. And we want to continue lifting up those on our monthly, which there's a few that we mentioned today that's been on our monthly list. And you can see the new list there that you got. And we want to lift all of them up. And I will As you pray there while she plays, I will close you out in prayer then this morning. We are grateful today for your presence that goes with us throughout life. You said that you would never leave us or forsake us, and we're grateful. We are today. Your grace in our lives, and Lord, as the various ones that have been mentioned today, we do pray for your grace to be extended to them, healing grace, saving grace, Lord, whatever the need is there that needs strength for recovery and healing and wholeness, Lord, we lift them up to you today. And Lord, we lift up Nancy today, who's having surgery this week. Guide and direct, we pray. For Ian with his bleeding ulcer, God, for your healing touch today. For Randy, who fell off the roof and having trouble with his leg, Lord, we just ask for your healing touch and grace there. For Cheryl today, God, that's been diagnosed with cancer, we just ask for your guidance and wisdom there, and your healing touch and grace to be extended to her. For Ron with heart issues, God, we ask that your touch would be there. For Jill and Jim, who are going through treatments, God, that your healing touch would be with them, that you give them strength, Lord, as they're going through that. For Judy and Priscilla and Sandy that are all recovering, Lord, we just ask for your strength and presence to be with them in healing grace. And we lift up Mike also, Lord, whatever's going on. We pray that it's nothing serious, but just getting the potassium and magnesium back in line, Lord. We're grateful and thankful for that. We lift up those on our monthly list, so many of them that we've been praying for, Lord, that just need your healing grace and touch today, your presence to be with them for strength, Lord, watching over those that are overseas and serving in our armed forces and other situations and scenarios there, some of our shut-ins. And Lord, we just ask for your grace and your presence to be with each of them. We thank you for that. And Lord, we lift up this unspoken need today, asking for your grace to be extended there. Lord, we pray for each one that's here today. Lord, if they lifted up special needs there in their seats to you today, that they could not mention, we just ask that you would grant your grace and your touch there, and that you would be with them and give them the faith and strength that they need, and grace for whatever they're facing, or maybe for someone else and their family or loved ones. And we're grateful and thankful for all of that. Lord, we thank you for your presence that does go with us. We ask that you would just continue to bless the rest of our service as we break the bread of your word. May you just encourage us and strengthen us and give us wisdom for the paths ahead. As we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining us in prayer this morning, and what I think a big difference that makes as we agree together and pray for people and situations. And this morning we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And thank you for your faithfulness. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said, that it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so as we practice that throughout each month, I believe God does take care of us. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Join together there for our prayer of dedication in the bulletin. Infinite God, use these gifts for your purpose in the world. Food to the hungry, hope to the despairing, and new life to the lifeless. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I shouldn't say anything about this, but I am pleasantly surprised to see Abby and Connor here this morning, probably because they got to bed at 3 in the morning since this was prom weekend. And I think they'll probably both go home and crash the rest of the afternoon. And Well, let's continue on there, picking up where we left off about, oh, I don't know, 12 weeks ago or whatever it was, 6 to 8, maybe somewhere in there, by looking at our scripture reading from the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 12. Now, it happened that the common folk, both women and men, raised a cry against their Judahite sisters and brothers. Some said, "We and our daughters and sons are so numerous that we must have grain in order to stay alive." Others said, "We're mortgaging our fields, vineyards, and homes to buy enough grain during this famine." Still others complained that they had to borrow money against their fields and vineyards to pay the ruler's tax. "But our needs are the same as anyone," they complained. "Our children are as good as yours, yet we must sell our daughters and sons into slavery. Some of our daughters have already been sold into prostitution, but we can do nothing about it. Our fields and vineyards are owned by others." I was enraged when I heard these complaints and stories. After some thought, I approached the officials and said, "I charge you with exacting outrageous interest rates to your Judahite brothers and sisters." Then I called together an assembly to deal with them, saying, "We have done everything we can to bring back our Judahite brothers and sisters who were sold into slavery in foreign lands. Yet now you are now selling your own flesh and blood. Who now must be brought back to us?" They were silent and had nothing to say. I continued, "It is wrong for you to do this. You should be living in respect of God's ways, so that you are above reproach in the eyes of the nations of our enemies. My kin and I have, and workers under me, are lending these people money and grain. Stop this usury immediately. Return their fields, their vineyards, their olive groves, and their houses, as well as all the usurious profits you've made, whether in money and grain, in new wine, or in olive oil. And do it today. We will give them back," they promised. "We will exact nothing more. We will obey your word." Then, after summoning the priests, I put the offenders under oath to do as they promise. This is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, let me share something with you. A woman came home to find her husband kind of shaking like this, kind of a little bit of a dancing frenzy going on, with some kind of wire running out from his waist towards the electric kettle, intending to jolt him away from that deadly current. She whacked him over the head with a plank of wood, breaking his arm into two places. Up to that moment, he had been happily listening to his Walkman. I don't know if you got what was going on there, but she thought he was being electrocuted by something. Yeah. So, well, this morning I want to talk to you about the challenge of economic issues. Now, good Lord, we could talk for months on something about that, but I'm not going to. But this did appear in the middle of this story. And in the middle of this story, they had been working on rebuilding the wall. And I saw this in the midst of it. Let me say this. This is not in my notes, but let me just say this kind of in passing. We are not exempt from troubles when we're doing God's work in life. And that's exactly what we see going on in this story. As all of you know, we probably all have been affected in one way or another by economic issues. of our nation or our world at one time or another. I was thinking back when I was a kid in elementary school that my brother, the first house they bought, it was in the 70s. Does anybody remember what the interest rate on a mortgage in the 70s was? 13%. And we'd grumble at 6, but it was interesting to see what had happened. And we probably all have faced the ups and downs that come with economic cycles in our world. We're facing that now. We faced it before. Almost every president we've ever had, we face the up and down cycles of our nation. And most of us here probably have various views on government, politics, and the economy, and helping those in need. Well, it was no different in the ancient world, except this. They had less of a say in it all, and in some places, they had no say at all, because they were ruled by a powerful ruler. Well, they're just beyond halfway in rebuilding the wall. And there came a great outcry of the workers that were working on the wall that they had heard back from their wives and families at home that the elites were taking advantage of them in the hard economic times that they were facing at this time. Nehemiah, like a good leader, listened to their complaints, and then he came to a decision on how to help. Now, we read through there. Let me just repeat a little bit so you get an idea of what's going on. Some folks with big families were low on funds and grain, and they were having a hard time surviving and eating. Others who own land mortgaged their fields, vineyards, and houses to acquire grain so they could eat. Other landowners who had borrowed against their fields and vineyards, they did this to pay the taxes that they owed. And a little while later on, I'll tell you all about how they normally did that. Some who already lost their fields and vineyards were now being threatened by their creditors to lose their children to debt servitude. In other words, the kids would go work for their creditors until things were paid off. It was a grim, panic-ridden time. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, man, how could this have happened? Well, as we're going to see, some of this was totally beyond their control, and they had nothing to do with it. But other things, they were not following the way God had instructed them to do things. And that was affecting them too. So let's look at this as we kind of talk about these challenges and what they faced and if it has any impact on us today. And so I want to look at that, first of all, in two ways. First of all, the rising economic conditions that they were facing. I don't know if you caught it. It was one word that was in the middle of the whole reading, and that's this word, famine. Famine that I talked to the kids about. Okay. Remember a little bit ago, I said I was going to tell you how this normally worked out. Normally, and some of you that are farmers and farmed, you understand this very well. Normally, families would pay their debts, their taxes, and feed their families from three great harvests that happened during the year. The barley harvest that took place in April and May, the wheat harvest that took place in May and June, and the fig, grape, and olive harvest that took place in August and September. However, with the farmers working on the wall, doing God's work, rebuilding the wall in Jerusalem, and facing a severe drought that season, harvest and income were in dire straits. Now, I jotted this down. Let's think about this today. We're going along, we're living our lives, we're working, we're making ends meet, we're doing fine, we're doing well. A tornado comes through. An earthquake happens. Or if you live in certain areas, a hurricane happens. Forest fires happens. We've seen that all. People lost everything. One of my friends that teaches Old Testament out at Fuller Theological Seminary, nothing. Nothing left of their house that burned in this last fire that happened out there. He said, you know what? Before he started teaching in seminary, he did archaeological field work. And he said, my house looked like the burn levels in archaeological digs where they kept going down and they would dig. And the further down they went, the further back in time it was. And when they found burn areas in the ground, they knew a fire had wiped out communities and towns and stuff like that. He said, that's what it looked like. No control. They had no control over what was happening. And it was difficult and hard as we were reading and the complaints that started coming through. Second thing they battled, or the condition there was, we all know this, taxes. Despite the famine, workers still had to pay the exorbitant imperial taxes of 20% on all agricultural manufacturers' goods that they raised and sold. Plus, and this was the harder one, a fixed annual land tax assessed on the average yield from the land each year. And one commentator I read talked about how that could be up to as high as 40 shekels a year. Guess what they needed to live on in a year? 22 shekels. So think about that. Now, granted, shekels are a measure of weight. So it could have been shekels of silver, or it could have been shekels of gold. And it depends on which one, because there's a big difference in what you have in those moments. Taxes were collected from all who were part of the empire. We know this. We face that same thing today. Taxes, fees, whatever you want to say. And these laborers were no exception. Many had to borrow money during this season to pay their taxes. Here's the other thing they faced we're familiar with. High interest rates. Additionally, Judahite creditors, in other words, their brothers and sisters, unsympathetic to the building project of the wall, were exploiting the workers by demanding payment in one form or another, while they charge interest rates anywhere from 20 to 50%. You can read this in any of the Persian. Most tragically, when they couldn't pay, the creditors seized their lands, homes, or children to pay off the debts. That's the way it was. Thank God nobody comes around and takes our children and says, until your parents pay this off, you're going to work for us. That was very common in the ancient Near East. And even in the New Testament times when Jesus was. Here's the thing I want us to see. And this is what is fascinating, what Nehemiah does here. Reducing injustice. Well, first thing we see is Nehemiah became very angry at the injustice and greed he had witnessed firsthand. But he did not just get angry. His anger led to actions, not violent actions, but other types of actions. You know, we too get angry. I mean, I've talked to folks, I've heard people all my life as a pastor, and even before that, people grumbling about the government, people grumbling about taxes, people grumbling about their boss. I mean, on and on we can go. Anything that deals with our economic aspect of life. And yet, his anger led him to take positive, wise action. First of all, he was confronting the greed of those that were involved in all this. What gave him the power to do that? This is what gave him the power to do that. Torah, scripture for Israelites and Judahites, instructed them to be fair with their brothers and sisters when dealing with economic issues. Listen to this from Deuteronomy 23, 19 and 20. Don't charge your fellow Israelites interest, whether on money, provisions, or anything one might loan. Do this so that the Lord your God blesses you in all your work on your land you are entering to possess. Interesting. So Nehemiah confronts the ruling elites from driving the people into poverty through high interest rates, and had the creditors, if we read there towards the end of our reading, that they are to return everything they exploited in land, grain, vineyards, olive oil, or olive groves, and wine. That's one thing he did. Second of all, he dealt with this by overturning exploitation. Again, why did he do this? Torah instructed Israel and Judah never to enslave one another to foreigners over greed. Such cruelty was evidence of no love for their fellow Judahites. Nehemiah told them to stop selling their own citizens into slavery. Why? Because love of neighbor must always supersede the love of money. They were already taught about that in Leviticus. If a fellow Judahite faced financial difficulties and wanted to sell themselves to pay off the debt, that's the normal way, the number one way that slavery happened in the ancient Near East, is they would sell themselves to somebody who was wealthier to help them to be able to pay off their debts. Here's what Torah said. Don't make them a slave. Instead, you hire them as a worker and then release them in the seventh Sabbath year or the year of Jubilee. Here's the stipulation from Leviticus. If one of your fellow Israelites faces financial difficulty with you and sells themselves to you, in other words, they want you to help them, you must not make them work as slaves. Instead, they will be a hired laborer to you, and you will release them afterwards. That's the second thing he did. The third thing he did in all of this, and this seems to be the underlying thing, and I think this is what we can draw upon today in the midst of this. I mean, nobody's going to get the banks to stop charging interest on loans. Nobody's going to get, the government to stop taxing. It's just life. But notice what he says there. He talks about by doing this, by serving God reverently. Nehemiah was a different kind of leader. Given his position, listen to this, given his position in the Persian court, we talked about that way at the beginning of the series, he was one of the most entitled men in all of Judea. He could have used his privilege for personal and financial benefit. But he says there in our reading, out of reverence for God, or I think our reading said respect. Go back to the old King James, it says, the fear of the Lord. Out of reverence for God, he rejected such ways, spoke out against those who were exploiting their fellow Judahites during the famine, and used his influence to change the practices, including, as we read, his own wealth that was involved with all this so that he could relieve the suffering of his fellow Israelites or Judahites. Do you know Jesus gave similar examples in his teachings, challenging his followers to live according to the kingdom of God or the reign of heaven? And what does that mean? That means God's way of acting in our world. We who follow Jesus are encouraged to be wise with our possessions, to speak out against injustice and treat our fellow brothers and sisters and our neighbors in gracious and generous ways, all out of reverence for God. These are just some of the challenging economic issues they faced. And we have different ones, but similar ones today that we face. Amen. Amen. Well, let's take a few moments and greet one another and share God's blessing with one another before we close out and sing our little chorus this morning there. She did a great job. She gave it to me. She goes, I want you to read this one. And yeah. Yeah, no, we haven't sang it in a long time. All right, as we close out this morning, if you want to turn in your hymn books, it's 506. Open my eyes, Lord. And we'll sing it through twice there this morning. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love Him. Open us. Oh, sing it again. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch Him and say that we love together for our benediction. Go forth as witnesses to God's love. May the blessing of God, Alpha and Omega, first and last, beginning and end, be with us all. Amen.